Good morning and welcome to worship here at West End United Methodist Church. We are glad that you are joining us this morning, whether you are joining us online or you're here in the sanctuary. We hope that you will register your attendance with us. If you're online, there should be a link that comes up or a URL to follow to register your attendance. And here in the sanctuary, there are pads at the end of each pew. We hope that you will pick those up and fill them out and pass them down the row so that we can know who you are and be in touch with you, especially if you're visiting with us today. As you can see, our children are coming forward. They're going to lead us in our introit this morning, and that's going to be a sort of call and response echo thing. And so the choir and their leader will sing, and we, the congregation, will be the echo. So I hope that you'll join us in that. This morning, we welcome to worship Reverend Chris Donald. He is the chaplain at Vanderbilt University, and he worships here with his wife, Rebecca, and their daughter, Wesley, and he will be leading us as liturgist this morning. I want to remind you of our Thursday noon concert series. This week, our very own Andrew Reisinger will be playing at noon here in the sanctuary on Thursday, and we hope that you will join us. There's more information in the bulletin. Also, in the bulletin, a note about our great day of service, which is coming up on March 4th. We hope that we will have 150 people or more registered for the great day of service. We will be working with Glencliff United Methodist Church and the villages at Glencliff, and so we hope that you'll sign up, mark your calendars, and again, there's more information in the bulletin. And finally, if you're a college student, we hope that you will join our college lunch. They meet immediately following this service in the back of the sanctuary, and it's free. So if you're a college student, we'd love to have you join the group, meet in the back of the sanctuary after this service. And now let us prepare our hearts and our minds to worship God this morning.
Please remain standing and join me for the call to worship, which is found printed in your bulletin. May God break down the barriers that divide us. May God tear down the walls of hostility and fear. May God take away our anger and hatred. May God breathe new life into God's people. For we are called to newness in Christ Jesus. We are all loved by God. Come, let us worship the God who removes obstacles from our paths. Let us praise God who seeks to guide us in peace. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Let us pray. Lord, we know we have forgotten how to trust you entirely. We find it much easier to put our needs in front of our neighbor's needs. We find it much simpler to work toward power instead of peace. Forgive us when we forget to include your love into our daily lives. Give us the courage and strength to accept your forgiving love, that we may again place our whole trust in you. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the prayer of illumination. You'll find it in your bulletin. Holy God, as we turn to the scriptures, open our hearts and minds that we might encounter you in the person of Jesus Christ. Be with us as the word is read and proclaimed, that we might know you more fully and follow you more faithfully. Amen. Today's lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came to him and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." But the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, and said to him, "All these I will give you if you will but fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
please be seated, and I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Oh, we've got a great crew this morning. Good morning. It's good to see all of you. All right. Hi there. Now find a seat. Great. I want to tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a girl named Jane. And one day, Jane's mom came home with two giant cookies. And she said, "Jane, I have two cookies here. You can have one, and your brother Peter can have the other." And then her mom left the cookies on the counter and left the room. Well, Jane ate that cookie, and it was so delicious. And then she looked at the other cookie. Her brother Peter was across the street at a neighbor's house, so he wouldn't know if she just went ahead and ate that second cookie. It looked so good, and she wanted it so badly. But then she kind of started feeling a little like maybe something wasn't quite right. So she decided to talk to God about it. So she prayed, "God, I really want that cookie, but I don't know if it's the right choice to eat it. Please help me make the right choice." And then she thought about it a little more, and she decided, "I don't really want that cookie. I want Peter to have that cookie." And so she left it so he could have it. In our scripture this morning, Jesus has some really hard choices to make. And he prays to God, and God helps him make the right choices. Will you pray with me? Dear God, be with us always, and most especially when we have hard choices to make. Help us to make the right choices. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if you're older or younger than that, you can go back to your seats. It's always a fun rumble when the kids are moving around. Would you pray with me? Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you have been worshiping with us for a while, you know that we as a congregation have been making our way through the Bible this year. We're reading the entire Bible, and Pastor Carol has been preaching on portions of those readings each week. But starting today, as we begin the season of Lent, we're going to pause that preaching pattern so that we can focus on encounters with Jesus. This morning we've read from the book of Matthew, and for the rest of the Sundays in Lent, we'll be reading from John. And we begin this morning with Satan's encounter with Jesus. It is a story of temptation. You know, temptation is a word that we hear all the time. It's sort of made its way into our everyday vernacular. But I have to admit that I've never really given it a lot of thought before I had to preach about it. So just for fun, I Googled the words, "I was tempted," and I got some interesting results. I was tempted by your eyes. I was tempted to pause my pension. I was tempted to cheat, but I didn't. From superstar Motown groups, The Temptations, to cat treats, also Temptations, temptation is really all around us. So maybe it's worth examining temptation a little more deeply, especially now as we begin our Lenten journey. After all, this is a season when we are invited to take a good, hard look at our humanity, our sinfulness and our mortality, and turn toward God. In our scripture this morning, we meet Jesus in the wilderness. He has just been baptized by John in the Jordan River, And the Spirit of God came down and announced that Jesus was God's beloved Son. Jesus is about to begin his public ministry, but before he does, the Holy Spirit leads him out into the wilderness, where he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. After all that time with no food, just when Jesus is famished and presumably at his weakest, the tempter shows up. What ensues, of course, is a battle of wills with Scripture as the weapon of choice. If you're the Son of God, Satan says, command these stones to become bread. Jesus responds with words from the book of Deuteronomy, and then Satan counters with words from the Psalms. Back and forth they go, each time with Satan trying to tempt Jesus, first to demonstrate and test his power as the Son of God, and then to inherit all the kingdoms of the earth. And each time, Jesus declines. He chooses self-control. He chooses humility. He chooses the kingdom of God over all of the kingdoms of the world. Ultimately, Jesus chooses his humanity when he could summon all of the power of his divinity. Jesus will not let temptation get in the way of his calling. He remembers who he is. He is God's beloved. Of course, for Jesus, temptation has a face and a name, the tempter, the devil, Satan. But so often for us, our temptations are insidious. They don't show up in a person with horns and a pitchfork. They sneak into our everyday lives, and sometimes we might not even notice that if we're not careful. As one commentator describes it, temptation shows up in moments when we look at others and feel insecure about not having enough. Temptation shows up in judgments we make about people who make choices that we don't understand. It shows up when we look away from those in need, when we engage in the justification of little lies or small sins. Temptation shows up when we allow wealth or power, influence, vanity, or a need for control to define who we are. In other words, temptation shows up when we forget who we are. That we are God's beloved. I don't know about you, but when I think about the number of ways that I am tempted over and over again, it is easy to get overwhelmed. It's easy to start beating myself up for not being better. Why don't I have more self-control? Why can't I just be a better human? Why do I allow myself to be enticed by those things that I shouldn't? I think I'm beginning to understand why I tend to avoid thinking about temptation. It's easy to get into a spiral of shame and guilt if we're not careful. In our Tuesday morning Bible study this week, someone helpfully pointed out that we are not our temptations. In other words, they are not who we are. They're simply choices that we can make. So that got me thinking. What if we were to approach our temptations with curiosity rather than condemnation? What if we were to examine our temptations just for a moment without judging ourselves? After all, Jesus didn't pretend that temptations don't exist, that he wasn't tempted. He didn't live in denial about them. He also doesn't seem to feel shame about the fact that he's feeling tempted. Instead, he simply acknowledges his temptations and confronts them head on. A while back, there was a series of commercials for Snickers candy bars. Each of these commercials featured a famous person who was acting really grumpy. My favorite one portrayed Betty White playing football with a group of guys. She got tackled, and then she got really mad after someone heckled her. Just then, someone ran up and handed her a Snickers bar, and immediately she turned from being Betty White into just a regular guy. The tagline for the commercials was, "You're not you when you're hungry." I wonder if we take a closer look at our temptations, if we look a little deeper, if we'll actually recognize those temptations as hungers or longings. Perhaps these hungers and longings are just trying to be satisfied in whatever ways they can, and sometimes we choose ways that separate us from God. Maybe we're just not us when we're hungry. But what's the solution? Is there some sort of spiritual Snickers bar that we can eat when we're tempted? Can it help us resist temptation? I don't know that there's a quick fix to anything that significant in this life. But perhaps we can learn something by looking to Jesus. While Jesus deals with his temptations head on, he doesn't deal with them alone. He entrusts his hunger and his longings to God. In choosing self-control and humility, Jesus trusts that God will not leave him hungry forever. He trusts that God will not abandon him to his longings. And in doing that, Jesus shows us that he is the kind of Messiah who can be trusted. He won't be swayed by the lure of power or fame. Instead, he will remain focused on who he is and what he is called to do, because he is God's beloved. And just as God does not abandon Jesus, Jesus will not abandon us. I don't know if you've heard, but a revival broke out in Kentucky this month. It began on February 8th at Asbury College in Wilmore, Kentucky. After their weekly chapel service, a group of students decided to stay and pray, and the worship continued for 24 hours a day for several weeks. The worship was live streamed, but droves of people from all over the world came to experience it firsthand. This past week, the college had to start turning the public away because the town's infrastructure and the college's infrastructure couldn't handle that many people. Clearly, there was something compelling going on. They're now encouraging people to pray and worship God and share the gospel in their own communities around the world. I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the word revival. Perhaps it brings up images of joyful celebration and worship. Or maybe it comes with a lot of baggage from religious trauma and manipulation. In her commentary on this revival, Nadia Boltz-Weber acknowledges and recognizes how those things also make her feel uncomfortable. But, she says, from everything I have seen, this revival is a quiet one. It's mostly just singing by college students on simple acoustic guitar and piano. I cannot claim to understand it, she says. All I know is that every time I have tuned in over the past few days, it has made me teary. She goes on to say that she sees a simplicity and a humility in this particular revival. And there's something in her soul that longs for what she's seeing there. She says, I long to sing with others. I long to be open-hearted. I long to trust something for once. I long to be unself-conscious in my devotion to God. I long to witness something real. do you long for? What are you hungry for? I don't think that we need to make a pilgrimage to Kentucky to find satisfaction for those deep hungers and longings. And I also don't think we need to give in to our temptations. Perhaps one of our invitations this Lent is to examine our temptations and then entrust them to a Messiah who is right here, right now, and who knows what it means to be tempted. And perhaps, just as the angels came to wait upon Jesus, we too will find that our hungers and our longings can be satisfied by God, because he will never abandon us. But the invitation doesn't end there. Jesus left the wilderness and began to preach the good news, and we are called to do the same. Like Jesus, may we remember who we are. We are God's beloved. And may we remember what we are called to do. Amen.
Together we have heard the invitation from the word read and proclaimed, and now we have an opportunity to affirm our faith in the God who meets us in the wilderness. I would invite you to stand as you're able and join with us in affirming our faith. The affirmation of faith is found on page 883 in our hymnals. Let us join our voices together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. What a privilege it is to gather with others, to share our prayers, our concerns, our joys with each other. We would invite you as a community of faith to share those concerns. If you are here in the sanctuary, there are prayer cards in the pew racks in front of you. And if you have a prayer, concern, or joy you would like to share, you can write it on that card and place it in the offering plate as it goes by. Your pastors gather every Monday afternoon and pray for these concerns one by one, calling each name. If you're joining us online or any time of the week, you can always go to our website under Contact Us and let us know of your prayer concerns there. This morning, the rosebud on the communion table celebrates the birth of Penelope Joan Wiegand, who was born on February 16th to Martin and Jane Wiegand. She's welcomed also by her siblings, Francie and Tripp Wiegand. Our beloved church member, Elizabeth Kate Collins, passed away on Friday, February 17th. A memorial service will be held in the West End Sanctuary on April 29th at 2 o'clock p.m. Our hearts and prayers are with West End member Lynn Linebaugh-Jones and her husband, Byron, as their family are mourning the death of Lynn's father, Mac Starks Linebaugh, Jr., who passed away on February 22nd in Guthrie, Kentucky. He was also a longtime member here. A memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. on Saturday, March 4th at Guthrie First United Methodist Church. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of the wilderness, God of the city, God of the church, God of the universe, God of our lives. We find ourselves this morning at the beginning of Lent, walking with Jesus in the wilderness. The wilderness can be a scary place for us with its starkness and confusion. Help us to trust that you are with us, that you will provide for us all that we need for the next faithful step. As we look around us, we see many of your beloved children walking in wildernesses of their own, and we pray for them that they might know your presence and your power. We pray today for those who are sick, for the grieving, for those who doubt, for those struggling with broken relationships. Oh God, today we pray for those in Turkey and Syria who continue to suffer the devastation left behind by the earthquakes. We pray for the people of Ukraine moving now into a second year of an unwanted war. God, as we move closer to home in our prayers, we pray for the people, the animals, the land affected by the train derailment in Ohio. We pray for those in our own community who suffer the effects every day of poverty, food scarcity, and lack of power. O God of the wilderness, be with us all. Speak to us in this time of worship. Refresh our souls with your living water. Feed our hungry hearts with the bread of life. Meet us where we are and lead us forward as your people, changed by your grace and ready to work with you to change the world. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who shows us the way and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Stacy Harwell Dye is going to come forward now and share with you a ministry moment about our connection with Glencliff United Methodist Church.
One of the things that I love best about being United Methodist is our connection. And one aspect of that connection that I love is the ability to pull our resources together and for the missional congregations in our midst. These are congregations whose work is vital, but this congregation may not have the funding or the numbers of congregants to do the work. And we are in a missional partnership with Glencliff United Methodist Church, which means we are supporting them as fellow United Methodists. This month, we are raising money through our communion offering for World Vision and the Village at Glencliff. And next month, we are raising money for the church itself. Why this distinction? So Glencliff Commons is the umbrella name of the campus on which Glencliff United Methodist Church, the Village at Glencliff, and Pastor are all housed. Glencliff United Methodist Church received a lot of the members from 61st Street United Methodist when that church closed. So together, the members from 61st Street and the remnant of faithful people at Glencliff United Methodist Church decided together that they would host on their property the Village at Glencliff. These are the tiny medical respite homes for people experiencing homelessness on their campus. So we are specifically raising money next month for them so that they can renovate their building, their kitchen, their furnace, which makes 2 months in a row that we're raising money for them.
You may ask, why 2 months in a row? Well, the first is a joyful coincidence. The youth choose who they raise money for each year during their 30-hour famine, and this year they chose the village at Glencliff for their local nonprofit. The second is that if you've ever done a building remodel, you know just how much that costs. 2 months cannot even be enough. So we invite you to give generously in the communion offering both this month and next month so that we can support them. I also want to take this moment to echo Aaron's invitation to do the Great Day of Service with us this Saturday, March 4th. We will only be on the campus of Glencliff to start off, so don't come here. Go over to Glencliff United Methodist Church in the morning. We'll be doing missions and ministry alongside their members as we pack sweet potatoes to go to those who need food. We'll pack menstruation kits for UMCOR to give out in the wake of a disaster. And then we'll do various projects on their campus, cleaning, painting, moving some furniture. I encourage you to go to the website and sign up for Great Day of Service or go to westendumc.org/GDOS, Great Day of Service, for more details. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of us joining online are invited to give via the options on the screen, and while us here in the sanctuary will pass the offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
be seated, and I'd like to invite those who are joining to come forward. First, I'll introduce you to Jane Feist and Kevin McGillicuddy and their five-month-old daughter, Elizabeth. Jane is a healthcare regulatory attorney at Waller, Lansdowne, Dortch, and Davis, and Kevin is a regional sales manager with Highwind Corporation. Jane is transferring from Helena United Methodist Church in Helena, Alabama. Next, we have Rachel and TJ Bergman. Rachel is a dermatologist at Franklin Dermatology Group, and TJ is an emergency room physician at St. Thomas Midtown. Next, we have Joshua and Bree Cumby. Joshua is a pianist and a self-described word nerd, which is helpful in his work as a lawyer. Bree is an attorney who enjoys painting, photography, and perfecting her popover recipe, and they are expecting a baby. Joshua is transferring from Sagemont Church in Houston, Texas, and Bree is transferring from St. Timothy Catholic Church in Chantilly, Virginia. Last but not least, Daniel Cantrell. After a 10-year career in technology, Daniel has gone back to school for his master's degree in English. When he's not reading or writing, he volunteers with our Quiet Place Ministry, as well as a mental health day program. Now to all of you except Jane. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Now to all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Would the congregation please rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members. Family of God, Rachel, TJ, Daniel, Bree, Joshua, Jane, Kevin, and Elizabeth are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite you to greet these folks through the doors to your right following the service. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen. friends, go forth this week to follow God and to remember that you are God's beloved, and you do not go alone. You go with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen.